Dear God, I thank you for each person here. Lord, we are grateful for the moms that are here and that incredible role that they fulfill in our lives and in society. And it's just amazing what they do and how they sacrifice. Lord, I pray that today they would feel our gratitude and affirmation. Lord, I do lift up those for whom Mother's Day is a difficult day. Maybe it's a woman who wanted to be a mother but never got the chance, or those that have lost their mom and so they don't get to be with her today. Or maybe it's a mother who's lost a child. And so I know that there are some that today need your comfort, your encouragement, and we just invite your Holy Spirit to do that, to come alongside of those. Lord, we also lift up those who serve in kind of a mom-like role. Maybe they're youth sponsors or teachers. Maybe they're foster moms. And Lord, we just thank you for those that step in and help children that are not their biological children, but that they love them just the same. Lord, we thank you for those who adopt and who just really take on the sacrifices that motherhood demands. Lord, I ask your blessing on each person here, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, parenting can be tough. I think any parent knows that. Ed Asner once said that raising kids is part joy and part guerrilla warfare. That was his quote. I think of a lady who was in a store, and her daughter was acting up. She was being pretty ornery, and the mother was, you know, pushing the cart, and the little girl was throwing a fit, and this manager of the store happened to be behind her, and he's listening, and the mother's saying, she's saying, "Suzanne, you stop it, and I mean you stop it right now." And she's being very calm, very direct, and she said, "You control yourself, Suzanne. You get yourself together. Calm down. Settle down. I mean it. Suzanne, you do it right now." And so she's giving all these firm instructions, but being gentle as well. And after a few minutes of this, the manager just walked up and started talking to the little girl, tried to get her attention, and said, "You must be so excited to have a mom like your mom. You're very lucky to have a mom like she is. So your name's Suzanne, right?" And then the mom piped up and said, "No, my name is Suzanne. Her name is Brenda." Parenting can be difficult, but it is really, in many ways, the ultimate privilege and responsibility. Author Paul David Tripp says this of parenting. He says, "Nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. It is a divine assignment." The scripture talks about parenting in Psalm 127, verse 3. "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him." And the text that I want to spend a little time on this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul writes to the young man that he's mentoring, Timothy, and he says this. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." And so the question this morning on Mother's Day is, how do you pass on the faith? And this verse doesn't really give us much of the how-to. That's why I wanted to ask some questions from some of the young ladies. But notice that in our passage that this faith first lived in the grandmother and the mother. That it lived, it was alive, it was a vibrant part of this family life. Now, the grandfather and the father aren't mentioned. I don't know if that means that they weren't followers of Christ or if it means they both had died and were out of the picture and mostly the women had had the influence. But notice that it was a living faith. It was vibrant. They were modeling it. They were living it out. When Jesus was asked to sum up the law of God, he really pointed to two statements: love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus focused in on the word love, on that relational piece of life, loving God and loving others. And love is a lot of it is about connection. You know, sometimes we think that parenting is just about enforcing the rules and giving consequences when kids, you know, wander off the right path. And that is a part of parenting. There's no doubt about it. But understand that the love and the connection is what is most important. Pastor Tony Evans once said, he said, rules without relationship will always lead to rebellion. And so there's some questions that moms, I would encourage you to ask. One question is, how is my connection with God? Is what's happening in your life a living faith? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you lifting your child up in prayer regularly? It can be one of the most powerful gifts that you can give your children, to pray for them. Long after you've gone on to heaven, your prayers don't expire. God is still answering those. Abraham Lincoln once said about his mother, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life." In history, there is a woman named Monica, and Monica was having a terrible time with her son. He was completely out of control. At the age of 16, he was running around with prostitutes, drinking himself into a stupor left and right. It was just an absolute mess what she was dealing with her son. But she prayed for him and continued to love him and continued to speak into his life whenever given the opportunity. And at age 17, they lived in North Africa, and he actually took off without even telling her, headed off to Rome. And at that point, she had prayed for him every day for at least, 6,000 days straight. And she continued to pray for him, eventually tracked him down. But what was interesting is about her son's story is that Monica's son one day was sitting in a garden by himself, and no one was even close by, but he heard children, and children started saying, and they said it a couple times, "Take up and read. Take up and read." This is what he heard. And he felt like this was God nudging him, and so he got the book of Romans from the scripture and began to read the book of Romans written by the Apostle Paul. And after years and years of Monica praying for her son, Augustine ended up becoming a Christian. And in the Christian world, he's known in history as called St. Augustine. He's really a towering figure in church history. His book, The City of God, was really the blueprint for a civilization that arose from the ashes of Rome. And his theological works paved the way for the Protestant Reformation that happened about 1,000 years after he lived. One author said of Monica's story that the art of love is largely the art of persistence. And there's a lot of truth in that. And so it needs to be a living faith, an engaged faith, where you pray and are connected to God and connected to your children. And so you ask, how is my connection to God? Also ask, how is my connection with my kids? When they begin to struggle in their behavior, if that happens, and I think every child has their moments, but sometimes there's long, difficult seasons. One question to ask is, how is my connection? And try to build that and try to work on that. See, a mother can be a child's safe place. Emily Dickinson once wrote, "A mother is one to whom you hurry when you are troubled." And I think it's good to stop and ask, what is the bottom line? What is the goal of raising your children? And people answer that differently. Some would answer, well, that they would be successful. Some mark that by, a certain education level or a certain economic level, or that they would be happy. But I would challenge you to stop and look and think, I think the bottom line is that they would come to know and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and experience an eternity with Him. I can't answer that for you, but every parent, every mother needs to answer that question. What is your bottom line goal in raising your children? What are you aiming towards? The Apostle Paul once wrote very bold words, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." As parents, there really aren't too many throwaway moments or unimportant actions, or insignificant words. They are watching everything, your children. If we could put a camera on you for a month, we would very clearly get a sense of what your values are, what you think is important. If we put a camera on me, you would, you know, if we all had our own reality show, that we would know. You wouldn't be able to hide what mattered to you. And our children, they're like that camera. They watch. They watch how we handle conflict, how we handle stress, how we handle financial difficulty, how we handle losing a job. They watch the good times, the joyous times, and they're taking notes. They watch your prayer life, your devotional life, how you handle money. Gandhi once said, "There is no school equal to a decent home and no teacher equal to a virtuous parent." Your children, in many ways, become who you are. Not necessarily what you tell them to be, but they watch very closely who we are. There's an old Spanish proverb I like. It simply says, "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." And I think that's true. It has been said that your life someday will be summed up at your funeral by those who kind of walk around and talk to each other in one or two sentences. You get to pick that sentence now by your actions, by your decisions, by your choices. Now, I've been very fortunate that I have gotten to experience a great mom and also gotten to watch my wife mother our five children, and she's done an amazing job as well. And when I look at the mother that I grew up with, and she's still down in Indianapolis, and she's really, I mean, her life now is mostly about caregiving with my father. And you could sum up her life with, you know, love God, love your family, love your community. My mom was a teacher outside the home, and she did that until I was born, and then for many, many years stayed home and raised me and my sister. And then when she started thinking about college, she actually went back, and my parents basically lived on my father's income and socked away hers and gave us the gift of college education, private Christian schools. Walked out of college with no debt. That's quite a gift. My mom would stop whatever she was doing if you wanted to have a conversation with her. She loved the church. She loved the Lord. It's not an accident that both my sister and I are on church staff, that we are in the ministry. We called her the queen of 20 questions. She always had to know what was going on. And there were moments it felt like an interrogation, but most of the time it felt very loving. And she just wanted to be involved in our lives. My wife, I get to watch her with our five kids. And they go from, you know, one who's married down to a 10-year-old. And both my mom and my wife are very intentional in their parenting. They really think about what they're doing. You know, my wife would, she was always really big on staying home in the morning. She's a therapist, and she would not set appointments until after the kids all left for school. And she would have that time of connection before they left for the day. And she was intentional in thinking about how do we create a Christian worldview. And she would actually have a news program on in the morning. And, you know, it was just kind of there in the background. But if a story popped up that, hey, we should talk about this, we should think about this issue, and what would God say about this, then that gave an opportunity that was right there. And, oh, let's dig into this. And so my wife would dig into sometimes very uncomfortable subjects with the kids so that they could understand God's truth and how it applies to all of life. I can't imagine if we tried to count how many hours my wife has watched wrestling tournaments. And some of you moms get that. Wrestling tournaments are pretty brutal to watch your son, get beaten on the mat. You get used to it after a while. But those early ones are painful. How many soccer games, of our daughter and our sons as well. How many concerts and plays she's attended. Just the sheer investment of time. I appreciate that if you come downstairs to our kitchen table at a certain time every day, you'll find my wife reading her Bible and whatever devotion book she's working through at the time. And so very faithful in that devotional life to God. And that speaks volumes to children when they see that. And she was always thinking about the kids. We still have a 10-year-old at home, and so she'll, you know, now you're going to be home when he gets home. I mean, yes, he could get in the house, but wanted someone to be there, wanted there to be connection. And so I would try to at least make the time to go home and touch base and maybe take him with me. And so it's remarkable to watch an intentional parent. And I just want to encourage you to think through your parenting. What are you aiming for? What are you trying to accomplish? My wife grew up in a very difficult situation, and yet she has learned to be an amazing parent. I admire that very much. My kids if you look at the family history, they get it intellectually, kind of. But, I mean, she changed the story. The abuse and the violence, the story changed. That was intentional. And so you may not have been handed a lot, but you can change yourself in the next generation. She prays with the kids regularly. That's intentional. She's the one that we have this plate, this dish on our counter that we write these really kind of outrageous family prayer requests that we pray over. And when they happen, then we move them from one side of the dish to the other. And so my wife's giving visual evidence. The kids, if you grow up in our home, you walk away from that experience understanding that we serve a big God who answers prayer and that prayer matters and it's powerful. And she put it and taught that in tangible ways. You can literally see, like the big group that we have going on, about half of them have happened. And these are things way out of our control. And so it's fun to watch a big picture parent. It's fun to watch an intentional parent. And I just want to encourage and call you to that. And we all get distracted. There's so much thrown at us. But I encourage you to think through where you're trying to go. What's the ultimate goal? And I think the ultimate goal is to spend eternity with your grown child in heaven. To have a place where there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no illness, there's no abuse, there's no death, only joy. And so I want to encourage you to sow into your kids in a way that teaches them to honor God. I just want to give you a simple visual aid. When you came in, there are these little kind of glass, looks like little stones on your chairs. Hopefully nobody thought it was a Mento or something. That could have been bad. And, you know, I just want to show you this because this is, I walked away from my notes, but I think the number is 938 of these little stones, okay? 938 is the number of weeks that you have with a child from 0 to 18. I want you to think about that. Each one of these is 1 week of primary influence. Now, you'll influence your children long past 18, but kind of that primary influence. So just think about that. What are you doing with those stones? What are you doing with week after week after week? How are you intentionally parenting with eternity in mind? On your chair is one of these little stones or glass pieces. And I want you to think about whether you're a mom or not, because we all have influence. We all have people that we influence. Maybe it's the person you're dating, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe you're a boss at work. Maybe it's your friend. How are you being intentional about using and leveraging your influence for eternity this week. So I encourage you to put this in your pocket or put it in your purse and think about that. What am I doing this week to be intentional and to keep eternity in mind? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for today. I thank you for each person here. I thank you for these young kids and young adults that spoke this morning and shared about their mothers. Lord, we are grateful for moms. It is an incredible task, calling that you have handed them, an amazing responsibility. Lord, I pray that you will give them your wisdom, your patience, your grace. And Lord, I pray that you will bless them and give them what they need to raise children in many ways a very dark culture. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. And I just pray that each mom here will experience your blessing and your encouragement today. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.